Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
When somebody is caught up in sin, actually at the end of James chapter 5, am I supposed to be turning them away from their sin? And do I? Or do I just sit back and go, well, that's their problem. Or I don't want to lose a friend. Or, you know what I mean? And so there are things that I'm supposed to be doing as a Christian that I need to be paying attention to. Then we get into chapter 5, and it says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You've heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. That's what Sabaoth means. It's literally the Lord of armies. You have lived on the earth in pleasures and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. And then he talks to people who are undergoing those things. And he says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And when James is talking about this, obviously he's talking about abuses in the churches that he's speaking to, and he starts in on these rich people, and it's probably a continuation of what he's talking about with these businessmen who are going out and doing things without the Lord being involved in their business. You know, there is a danger to riches. You know, a lot of times people in our country, you know, they're looking for the American dream and trying to get a job that's going to satisfy their needs and that kind of stuff. And one of the dangers of riches, again, is a lack of dependence on God. These guys are people who have decided that what the world is all about is getting more. And obviously, in the context of what James is talking about here, these are people who are oppressing people who are underneath them in the sense that they're taking advantage of their employees and just having that kind of attitude. Let me just speak to that for a minute. You know, when you get wrapped up in the whole money-making thing, the Bible has another one of the commandments. Actually, it's the last commandment in the 10. You know what it is? Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, their donkey, it goes through a whole list of things. And the word covet is not a word that's thrown around in modern times. The word covet just means be greedy. Thou shalt not be greedy is the idea. And many times you have people who get involved in the whole wealth thing, and all they want is more. It's just interesting to me that when a person gets involved in the whole money-making thing, it can become like a drug to them, and they just, you know, it's like they're not satisfied to have their needs met. They just want the next thing. And it just keeps going on. It's kind of like a carrot, like Satan's taking a carrot and sticking it out in front of a donkey. And he leads them into situations that cause the judgment of God to come down on them. In fact, Jesus, when he was talking about things that will stunt your spiritual growth, that actually will literally make you somebody who has no fruit in Jesus, one of the things that he mentioned was riches and cares of this life will cause you not to bring fruit. Now, again, the Bible doesn't condemn specifically having money. What the Bible condemns is money having you. It's that kind of idea. And that's what he's speaking about when he speaks to these guys. He says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. And he's making the statement here that there's judgment coming on these guys. And it's because of their actions. He says, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You've heaped up treasure in the last days. And the point that he's making isn't that these guys were literally walking around with moth-eaten clothes or corroded. Gold doesn't corrode. The point that he's making is that the God's going to bring a judgment down on all the goods that they have. And you have these passages, for example, in the judgment against Babylon. What you have specifically is a number of people who are standing outside the city of Babylon, which is a huge financial center in the last days, and they're weeping and mourning over the fact that it's been destroyed in 1 hour. And that all the profits that they had been making have just gone up in smoke, basically. And again, what they're doing is they're people who are putting all their treasures here on the earth. And with a Christian, that is not supposed to be the case. When he says, you have heaped up treasure in the last days, it's the idea of Christ is coming back. And all you're about, seriously, is making money? That's who you are? Christ is coming back. And all you're about is making money by ripping people off? Seriously, that's who you are? And it's just a real bummer when you find a Christian who is involved in business, and it's not just that he's a lousy businessman, it's that he's a crooked businessman. You know, when you build things for people, and you know, again, I've been in construction, and so I've seen situations where people were just out to get the contractor. I worked for a contractor this one time, and actually it was one of the reasons that I put off getting my license for so long. I worked for a contractor this one time, and he's working for this lady, and when he took the job, you know, we started building for them, and I knew that this lady was bad news, because she would come in every day and question everything that was going on and just had an attitude about all kinds of stuff. You know, it was one of those things. And she ended up, the house got built, and we got to the end of the job, and basically what happens is the bank holds the money for a job until it's finaled, until it's completed, right? And so you put in the concrete, and they give you a draw for the concrete. You put in the framing, they'll give you the amount of money that you should get for the framing plus a profit, that kind of thing. And it's like that all the way through the house, and you have this final draw, which contains most of the contractor's wages, basically, well, most of his profit. And what they did was they held off on the final draw, and the reason that they held off on it was because their tub was scratched. So they had a scratch in their tub. The problem was a lady had picked the tub. It wasn't a new tub. She'd went and found one, and she brought it in and said, will you please install this? And it had the scratch when we started. And so she took off on that, and she kept back my boss's profit for 2 years. He had to go to court for 2 years with this lady, and he finally got it. But when it happened, it was a significant job, and it was in a time when there wasn't a lot of work, and it almost put him out of business because the lady was money hungry. And so I understand it from a contractor and from a construction worker's point of view, in the sense that there are always people who are trying to rip off a contractor and find a way to chisel him down and not pay the guy for the work that he's doing. So I understand that. But a lot of times what you hear about is contractors who go in and they do a job and they don't do what they said that they're going to do. And what they're trying to do is basically get something for nothing. And so they do a lousy job, and they're not willing to stand behind their work and stuff like that. And that should never be said of a Christian. It should never be happening. And so I've had jobs where I did work for somebody, and they didn't like the work that I did, and they complained about it. And you know what? You stand behind your work. And so you come back in, and you try to fix it, and you try to make it right. And, you know, sometimes there's no pleasing people, because they just want something for nothing again. But if you got a situation where a person has a valid problem, then you go in, you do your best to fix it. I built a spec house this one time, and a guy called me back about a year after I built it. He'd been living in the house for about a year, and he was bummed out because he felt like the floor wasn't built sturdy enough. And so, you know, I walked in and I said, well, what's the problem? And, what was going on was he had a clock up against a wall, and every time he walked past the clock, it would kind of tilt. who kind of move back and forth, which a lot of times is an indication of a spongy floor and stuff. And so I went, okay, well, let me just take a look at that. And so I crawled down underneath the crawl space. And I said, you want to come with me? And he goes, well, sure. And so we're both down crawling underneath the crawl space, and we got flashlights, and I, you know, crawled over to the place where the floor was at, and you know, I showed him how the floor was built and that kind of stuff, and he goes, wow, this is built for stout. And I said, yeah, you know what, it's code. And so, you know, I built it the way that it's supposed to. And he goes, well, what do you think is causing that? And I go, well, how much pad you got on the carpet there? And he had some, you know, huge, it looks like 3/4 pad, and he was sitting there. And, you know, that was part of the problem. And as soon, you know, he obviously didn't want to rip up his carpet and change that. But just going in and crawling under his crawl space and showing him how things are built and how things are done and that kind of stuff just totally satisfied him. You stand behind your work. You do your best to fix things for people. And again, when you got somebody who is just into it for the money and they don't care about their employees and they don't care about the job that they do and all they're into is racking up wealth, you know, you can get yourself in real problems as a Christian. I'm not to be greedy. He goes on verse 4, and he says, indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your field, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. And so when somebody is involved in this kind of attitude, and they're ending up causing problems in the life of the people who are under them, they're oppressing the people who are under them, God listens to that, and he understands that it's taken place. This is a New Testament passage, and so he understands that these things are taking place, and he will judge, is the point that James is making here. He doesn't just let these things go, and so it's important that you treat people fairly. Again, you know, I don't know how many of you guys have businesses, but it is important that you treat people fairly. And it doesn't mean that you need to, you know, kowtow to every unreasonable demand that somebody makes. You know, I used to be part of a union in Southern California, and I just saw the clock, we'll wrap this up. But I used to be a union member in Southern California. I couldn't stand the union. And the reason is because they were constantly taking money from me, and they were using it in ways that I didn't like. I didn't get a whole lot of benefit from that whole thing. And they were constantly causing the guys who were actually paying my wages problems that were ridiculous problems. It's like all I wanted to do was work. And I'm willing to work and get paid a certain amount and that kind of stuff, and it was no big deal. Now, unions have been good things at different times because of specifically this kind of stuff where employers were oppressors. But we don't have much of that going on anymore. And one of the things you have to watch out for, you know, a lot of times we got this whole attitude in the United States of get the rich type of thing. And that whole attitude of get the rich is all about greed. And so the things that God is saying to these people who are rich and who are oppressing people who are underneath them would be exactly the same kind of thing that God would say to people who were poor and who just wanted something for nothing. You're greedy, and we're not supposed to be greedy. And so some of the greediest people I know are poor, and they always have an attitude who has some, you know, towards anybody who has more than them. And, you know, they don't ever consider that maybe the reason the guy's got more is because he went out and worked his tail off to get it. And so, you know what? Again, when I look at my life, basically what I'm supposed to be doing is living it before God and doing the things that God tells me. And if I will do that, then God will bless me. And I need to get my nose out of everybody else's business and let them do the same. And, you know, again, there are times when people are oppressive and governments are oppressive. And again, God sees all that stuff. And it's coming out in the wash. God's going to take care of it. But I don't need to have that same kind of attitude. We got this problem in the United States right now. And so there have been times when people who are rich have oppressed people who are underneath them. And now we got a whole situation where we've got a whole political election where people literally want to vote for a guy because he's going to give them freebies from other people. That's Bernie Sanders. It's like, I want free college. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as free college. There's no such thing as free healthcare. There's no such thing. Somebody's got to pay for it. And so, you know, what politicians end up doing is they go out and they make promises to people and say, I'll give you goodies if you'll vote for me. And they've got to get the goodies from someplace. Do you understand that the American government does not earn one penny on its own? The government doesn't have a business. The government doesn't, you know, make any products. The government doesn't have a situation where they're buying and selling and bringing in a profit. Where the government gets their money from is from everybody else. And so when I have that attitude of the government should give me something, the actual attitude that I'm having there is that you people should give it to me. And somebody should take it from you, then take it and turn it around, and then give it to me. And that's an attitude that will destroy a whole society. That's an attitude that will destroy a whole civilization. It's the attitude that destroyed ancient Greece. And it's the attitude that destroyed ancient Rome, too. It's that attitude. And so what I'm supposed to be doing is being somebody who lives before the Lord and walks accordingly. So, whether I'm poor or whether I'm rich, riches are not to have me. Whether I'm poor or whether I'm rich, I'm not to be going after, I'm not to have the attitude that I must have more than I can eat, more than I need to live with. I need to be content with what God's given to me. And if God wants to bless me, well, praise the Lord. And actually, I could share at the same time. You know, the Bible talks about opening up your house to people and being hospitable and stuff like that. And the world would be a whole lot better if people were a whole lot less greedy, is again the point. You've lived on the earth, he says, in pleasure and luxury. You've fattened your heart, says, in the day of slaughter. You've condemned, you've murdered the just. He does not resist you. And again, that's problematic. You got somebody who's claiming to be a believer and they've murdered the just. And you know, I look at that and I go, is he speaking figuratively or have these guys actually killed somebody because they want more money? And it says that he does not resist you there. And again, there's a whole attitude that we need to wait on the Lord. Just wrapping it up, if you're under a situation where somebody's being mean to you, somebody's being oppressive to you, that kind of thing. And again, you know, it's a bummer that I feel like I have to explain it this way, but you know, if you're working for somebody, let me put it this way. If you're working for somebody and the boss doesn't agree with the way that you want to do something, and he says, no, I would rather you didn't do it that way. I would rather you do it this way. That's not oppression. That's a job. And the boss is the boss. You know, and that's the way that's not a mean boss. That's a guy who just is running his business and he'd like some help is the deal. That's not oppression. And, you know, when actually having been on both sides of that whole thing where I've worked for somebody and I've been an employer, it makes it a whole lot easier for me to talk to people. I've had guys in my office who, you know, who I just, you know, again, kindly told them, you need to get your head straight here. You're not the boss, and if you want to work and if you want to get paid, then you just need to help the guy out. So why don't you just be a help instead of a problem? But when somebody is doing rotten stuff to you, and rotten stuff needs to be rotten stuff, we're to be patient. It says in verse 7, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain? You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And when the Lord comes, he takes care of all that. It all comes out in the wash. You know, Judgment Day is going to be a great thing for a lot of people. It's going to be a great thing for a lot of people. Because what Jesus is going to do is he's going to let everybody know what everybody's done. You're walking in sin and trying to hide it, and you know, like these guys right here, you're walking in sin and trying to hide it, it's not going to be hidden. What Jesus says is everything that you've spoken in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. It's not going to be a secret. It's not going to be something that you can hide. And so again, I've known some people who weren't as rowdy as this. I don't know that they murdered the just or something like that, but I've known some people who were pretty wicked. and saying that they were following Jesus and thinking that they're going to get away with it, and you're just not. It's not going to happen. And so from our point of view as Christians, as believers who are following Jesus, we can wait for that. It's all coming out in the wash. And you know what? When James is saying this stuff to these people, like in this passage in verse 6, you have murdered the just, he does not resist you. Well, that if that actually happened, somebody died. And God didn't intervene. Right? And so he got away with it. Right? And NCIS or Law and Order people, they didn't come in and wrap this guy up and take him to jail. And none of that happened. And it looks like he got away with it. But the reality is, no, he didn't. And eternity lasts a whole long time. And this guy's going to have an eternity where God's going to be dealing with him. And I can trust in the fact that the Lord is going to do exactly that. And, you know, what I want to wrap it up with is, I don't have to fight my own battles. I don't have to do it. I can sit back, and just like it says here, you've condemned the just. You have murdered the just. At the very least, there have been times when I've been condemned. I've never been murdered before because I'm still here. He does not resist you. And that is one of those things that, again, you need to keep in mind. We don't have to go around resisting these people. We don't have to go around, you know, making sure that we defend ourselves and that kind of stuff, because God is right. He's really good at defending the just. He's really good at it. And he's been good in my life in doing that. I could give you story after story. Maybe we'll do it next week. But in any case, you trust God, and you allow God to fight your battles for you. And don't have this whole attitude where your life is separate from God, and you're just trying to grab everything that you think that you need, think that you want. We need to trust that God is going to be the one who takes care of us in provision and in position and in possession and all of those things. God is the one who takes care of me, and it's not anybody else. I trust no man on earth to fill my need. I trust no man on earth to fill my need. And so keep it in mind. So let's pray. We'll get you out of here. Jesus, thanks again for the fact that you're a God who takes care of us. Jesus, thank you for the fact that you're a God who watches over us, and there's nothing that's going on this planet that you don't see. There's no word, there's no action, there's no thought that has come up against us and has been oppressive or mean or rotten that you're not looking at and that you're not dealing with. And vice versa, Lord, you look at our hearts too. And you see our actions, and you see the attitudes that we have towards people who are around us. And those are things that you have promised that you're going to deal with. God, we just pray that you'd help us to have pliable hearts so that if we're in those positions where we're being oppressive on one level or another to somebody, that you would just be speaking to our hearts and you would turn us and help us to walk in the way that you've called us to. Lord, thank you for these people. Thank you for hearts that love you, that want to see you at work, want to hear your word. And Lord, I know that you're going to reward them for it. So I just pray that you go before each one and in all the areas that we've been talking about this evening, this whole dependence on you. Lord, we pray that that would be more and more what our life is like. Everything that we do, everything that we're involved in is something that we take before you. And we treat you like what you actually are. The one who's in control of our lives. And Father, we know that when we do that, that life is going to be blessed and it's going to be good. Pray for that for each one here and ask that you do this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.